With today's top stories, I'm Tonata Kadila. The construction of the National Cricket Stadium, an 85 million Namibia dollar project launched in March of 2023, is nearing completion. Cricket Namibia CEO Johan Muller says the facility is on schedule, with final work expected to wrap up by the end of August. The stadium is expected to host international matches.
Yeah, it's been a 12-month process since we broke ground last year. We've got 2 months left. So, and as per any building period or contract, normally that last 2 months is heading into some sort of a high-pressure system. So that's exactly where we are currently. But everything's still on track to finish up the 20th of August this year. The field has already hosted three T20 internationals against Canada in March. And then we hosted a team from India now recently that also played in the field. So from a field perspective, the pitch on the outfield is very good, and it's playing really, really, really good cricket. It's mainly just the buildings that must be completed.
The Minister of Health and Social Services, Dr. Esperance Luvindao, has announced that 11 medical doctors from the private sector have volunteered to offer pro bono services at Katutura Health Center. The doctors will work evening shifts starting this week to help reduce long patient waiting hours.
Demand for health services is highest at the Katutura Health Center from about 7 p.m. at night to about midnight. This is notably so as all other clinics are closed from 7. Ministries further expanding operating hours of two high-volume facilities, including operating on weekends. The two high-volume facilities are the Okuriangaba Health Center as well as the Ochoise Clinic. These facilities will operate from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. from Monday to Sunday, beginning the 1st of July 2025. Extending operating hours at these two health facilities will significantly alleviate the burden of Katutura Health Center, especially given the large catchment areas and population density of surrounding areas. The ministry is extending operating hours for Okuriangaba Health Center to a full 24-hour service beginning the 1st of August.
Over in South Africa, Democratic Alliance Federal Council Chairperson Helen Ziller says the party has a motion of no confidence ready against President Cyril Ramaphosa. This follows Ramaphosa's dismissal of DA Deputy Minister Andrew Whitfield over an unauthorized international trip. Ziller warns the motion could bring down the government if tabled in Parliament.
We counted heads and we think that we're going to have 196 or 197 votes out of 400 for a motion of no confidence. That's a lot of votes. The ANC has never once yet in the history of our parliament got all its parliamentarians into the House, even with a three-line whip. So the question remains, will they have a full caucus in the House? I very much doubt it.
Violent clashes erupted between M23 rebels and a militia allied to the Congolese government in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo just 3 days after a U.S. brokered peace deal was signed between Rwanda and the DRC. Chris Ochamringa has more from Kinshasa.
Renewed fighting broke out in the territory of Rutshuru in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Local leaders say the M23 rebels clashed with the pro-government militia known as Wazalendo. The fighting has forced hundreds of people to flee their homes. Congolese authorities and UN experts accuse Rwanda of backing the M23 rebels, but Rwanda has denied the accusation and in turn accused the DRC of supporting an ethnic Hutu militia that seeks to destabilize its country. The DRC and Rwanda are supposed to set up a security coordination mechanism within 30 days to implement the US brokered peace deal.
And a jury in the federal trial of Sean Diddy Combs has begun deliberating the music mogul's complex sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy case. The 8 men and 4 women will first be given legal instructions from the judge.
The prosecution has portrayed Sean Combs, also known as Diddy or Puff Daddy, as the untouchable leader of a criminal enterprise who used power, violence and fear to get what he wanted, especially sexually. Prosecutors allege criminality across 2 decades, including drug distribution, kidnapping, arson, bribery, sex trafficking, witness tampering and obstruction, interstate transportation for prostitution and forced labour. They argue that Mr. Combs coerced the 2 women at the heart of the case to have sex with hired escorts in drug-fueled sessions known as freak-offs. The defence has argued that digital communications prove that any sex was consensual. Mr. Combs faces life in prison if convicted of the most serious charges. He's pleaded not guilty. Kate Fisher, Washington.
Find all these stories and much more on our website, futuremedianews.com.na. Future Media News, independent, accurate, and on time.